How many of you took the Proverbs 31-day challenge? You read every chapter in Proverbs through the month of July. Well done. Great job. Yeah, I think that's something worth celebrating. And if you didn't quite get through it, don't give up. You still have time to do it. It's not just for July. You can read Proverbs any time of the year. But we've been on this journey, and we're going to bring this to a conclusion today, what it is to walk the wise path and avoid pitfalls. And so I've been reflecting a little bit on this journey we've been on and thinking back to where it started. The very first week of this series, we looked at the beginning of wisdom, or what's the source of wisdom. And the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord. And then over the next few weeks, we looked at different pitfalls, how to avoid different pitfalls, because when you're walking the wise path and you're walking God's wisdom, it helps you identify and avoid those pitfalls that can trip you up. Today, we're gonna conclude this series really giving you a question that I hope takes us beyond a sermon series. And here's the question I'd encourage you to write down. How does a person stay on the wise path for a lifetime? How does a wise person stay on the wise path for a lifetime, not just for a series, not just for the month of July, but for a lifetime? And to answer this question today, I want to go to a verse in Proverbs that I believe is one of the most misunderstood verses in Proverbs, maybe in the whole Bible. And so I want to go to that today. And if you grew up in church, you probably have heard this verse, but it's in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6. And I want to read it, and then we're going to dig into it. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it." Now, at first glance, this sounds like a formula. Do the training on the front end, and then you will get an expected outcome, right? He will not depart. It sounds like a guarantee, money-back guarantee. But if you have been alive for any number of years, you know that life doesn't quite work this way. You don't always get what you hoped for, the outcome that you were looking for. But in this verse, there is something so much deeper than just parenting tips. It reveals something about God's wisdom. Now, throughout this series, I've done my very best, and our speakers have done our very best to point out that Proverbs is not a book of formulas. It's not a book of promises. It is a book of wisdom. And so when you see the word knowledge and wisdom, it's important in Proverbs, it's important to understand what those mean. Knowledge means knowing God's truth. Wisdom means living according to God's truth. So it's not just getting information, it's living according to what God's truth is. And we find his truth in his word. And so we know that, and we try to say we're not trying to get formulas, we're not trying to get promises, this is a book of wisdom. But when you read Proverbs 22:6, it reads like a formula. Like there's some secret in there, you're trying to crack the code of it, and if you can just get that on when you're raising your kids, then they won't depart from it. It's like just trying to figure out what that secret sauce is. And what I've noticed about this verse is parents of young children love this verse. It's one of the most popular verses that gets chosen for a baby dedication. It is. Parents of older children, I don't know if they like this one as much. If you pull this verse out of context and try to apply it as a formula, you will be disappointed. I believe it will mislead you. And it can cause pain and some regret, maybe even some guilt, but I don't think it needs to. Because if you understand this verse in the larger context of Proverbs, and even larger context of Scripture, the whole of Scripture, this verse can be life-changing. So let me just say this right up front. Proverbs 22, verse 6 is not primarily about parenting. It is about showing us God's law of formation. It reveals how God forms people. And so when we read Proverbs, we ask the question, what does this reveal about God's wisdom? Number one, here's what you can write down. God's wisdom is a path to walk. And when you walk that path, it shapes people over time. God's wisdom is a path that shapes people over time. We know you don't drift onto a wise path, you're trained onto it. You don't drift into becoming a wise person, you are formed into a wise person. So it's a direction, it's not a destination where you arrive. But here is the key that unlocks the truth in this verse. The book of Proverbs is written to a child. Not a literal child, but from a parent to a child's perspective. Because go back and read the first few chapters of Proverbs. You'll see phrases like, my child, listen. Tune your ear. My child, pay attention. My child, guard your heart. My child, don't be enticed by sinners. If you read Proverbs through the eyes of a child, you realize, oh, there's formation being taken place, helping to train and prepare children for adulthood. A child reading Proverbs is being taught how formation works ever before they are responsible for forming or shaping another person. In other words, today's child becomes tomorrow's parent. This is God's law of formation. A child does not just simply become an adult one day. They're being shaped every day by someone or something. There's a reason why children live in their household for 18 years. It doesn't just take one reminder. It doesn't just take one guidance. It's like day after day, year after year, which that's also good news because that also means one parenting mistake isn't going to derail your children. Amen. But there is a sobering warning for parents. Now, I just wanna let you know, this message is for all people, but I am gonna talk to parents for a moment. There is a sobering warning, whether you have children or you'd like to have children one day, here is the warning in this. Don't leave your child's formation to chance. Don't neglect that responsibility. God has empowered, he has delegated the authority to raise children to the parents. So don't leave it to chance. Now, I want to talk to parents of young children right now for a moment. If you have young children and you take this seriously, you want to put this into practice in the training, the formation of your children according to God's truth and his wisdom, get them on the wise path, you will feel like you're swimming upstream in this world. You just will. You will be going against the flow. Because when your child turns maybe 5 or 6 years old, inevitably someone will come up, and their intentions aren't bad, but someone will come up to you and say, so, what sports are your kids signed up for this year? What activities are they doing? I remember this. I mean, we were in this stage a bit ago, but I mean, I remember hearing parents talk about, oh, they're signed up for baseball. They got to get signed up for baseball at age 6. Because if they don't play now, they're not going to make the travel team. And if they don't make the travel team, they're never going to make the high school team. And if they don't make the high school team, forget getting a college scholarship. So you got to get them involved now. And all of a sudden, that puts you on the track. If you'll feel this pressure to get them on this track, thinking about college scholarship when they're 5 or 6 years old. And that path is a kind of training. And it just determined what kind of training you're gonna do for your kids. If you give your kids one of these at a young age with no boundaries, this thing will train them. And when they're old, they will not depart from it. I mean, this thing that has an apple on it with a bite taken out of it, that eerily reminds me of the Garden of Eden and the original sin. You can be your own God, right? So what was going on in the Garden of Eden? Parents, we know this will train your kids, but adults, this trains you too. And we know we gotta set this thing down, not let it train you. So when your kids are young, it will be inconvenient to bring your kids to church. It just will. It'll be a hassle. It'll be easier to just think when our kids are younger, then we'll get them involved in church. When our kids are older, then we'll get them in. When life slows down, then we'll get plugged in church. So it's just gonna be easier to stay home today. Now, I'm not talking about you because you're here today and well done. But I know that temptation, but listen, that's a training, right? This is training. There's training going on. If you decide, I'm not gonna get kids in church, we're just not as a family, we're not gonna go to church, that's training. You're choosing a pathway to walk. Get your kids in church at a young age. Now, pastor, you know, just because you go to church, that doesn't make you a Christian. Just like going to McDonald's doesn't make you a cheeseburger. I know. But if you love Jesus and you want to grow spiritually, you probably shouldn't avoid the place God designed for his people to grow. Train them from a young age. It's training. You know, Jesus said, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, they will be filled. Are you hungering? What's Jesus talking about? He's talking about appetite. What drives you in life? What motivates you? What are you hungering for? What are you thirsting for? Some people are hungering and thirsting. They're hungering for more money or more power. And so it drives their schedule and it drives how they use their time and it drives their decisions. Jesus said, hunger and thirst for righteousness, right living, living right before God, that only happens through Jesus Christ and his saving power. And you will be filled, you will be satisfied. That's training. What are your children seeing you hunger and thirst for? Because that's training. You don't drift onto the wise path. You are trained onto it. Don't neglect your child's formation. Don't let it up to chance. Now, let's expand this beyond young parents. Number two, what is it saying about God's wisdom? God's wisdom forms us through training. And training is building a pathway to walk before there are choices to make. Because you want to be on that wise path, and then your choices that you're faced with, all the decisions that you have to make in life, are influenced by the path you're walking on, or they're determined by the path you're walking. So you wanna decide what is the path you're walking before there are choices to make. Train up a child. That word train, if you study it, it means to dedicate. Dedicate to a path. Dedicate to a direction. And we see this all throughout scripture. I want you to notice how God trained Israel through Moses. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 6. Deuteronomy captures a lot of Moses' last words to the people of Israel. They were just about to step into the promised land, and Moses was near his death. So these were like his last words, kind of like a parent to a child before they would pass away. And I want you to see how God, through Moses, trained Israel. Deuteronomy 6, let's start with verse 4. Moses says this, listen, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord alone. I mean, there's truth just in that statement. Only one God, one Lord. And you must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your strength. And you must commit yourselves wholeheartedly to these commands that I am giving you today. Repeat them again and again and again and again and again to your children. Parents, you ever feel like you're repeating yourself over and over? That's scriptural, biblical. Repeat it over and over. Talk about them when you are at home and when you are on the road, when you are going to bed and when you are getting up. Tie them on your hands and wear them on your forehead as reminders. Write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is this training involved? Well, first of all, it's personal. Be an example, right? Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Make sure that you are living that out first. Commit yourself, all your whole self, everything to following, to obeying the commands, the instructions of the Lord. Then repeat them, talk about it over and over. Talk about it when you get up, when you go to bed, when you're on the road, when you're at home, tied on your hand and on your forehead. What does that mean? These are reminders that helps us remember. You gotta have things, some handles to hold on to that remind us of who God is and his instructions. Post them on doorposts and put them on gateways. What is that talking about? Decisions, right? They represent decisions, where you're going, where you're coming from. And we want his instructions to infiltrate every area of your life. And so what God is teaching Israel is you need to rehearse God's instructions, rehearse them over and over and over again, rehearse his ways until they become your way of life. As we know, we need reminders. That's how God taught Israel. How did Jesus teach his disciples? How did Jesus do it? Listen, he taught the crowds, but he trained his disciples. See, I read through the Gospels, and there's not a whole lot of recorded sermons by Jesus. There's a few, but not a lot. I mean, Jesus was always going into the synagogues, and he was reading scripture, and he was teaching, but we don't have a whole lot of that. But what we have is how he trained his disciples. And how did he do it? By walking with them, talking with them, asking them questions, sending them out, debriefing when they came back, correcting them when they're arguing about who the greatest disciple is or who's the greatest. He's training, time spent. You don't just drift onto a wise path, it requires training. Now let's look at consider what Paul said to Timothy. Paul was developing this pastor named Timothy. And we read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14, the statement he makes gives us a window into it. Verse 14 says, "But you must remain faithful to the things you have been taught. You know they are true, for you know you can trust those who taught you." Verse 15, "You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood, and they have given you the wisdom to receive the salvation that comes by trusting in Christ Jesus." You have been taught the holy scriptures from childhood. So this is not written to correct teachers and say, "Man, did they do a good job? I hope they did." This is not holding them accountable. This is saying, Timothy, hey, you were taught this, but you gotta make sure you put this into practice and live it out. There's training. See, training is building that pathway so that it influences the choices that we make. And there's this window when the children are, you know, this window of time that you have to form to really influence them. That's why as a church, we are so committed to investing a lot of time and resources into our children and our students. To build into them, to partner with parents for how we can disciple these children. Because there's a window, a formation. That's why we're doing a midweek Bible study. That's why I want to invite you to serve our kids, invest in them. It's how God works. He wants us to form in us, to walk in this pathway. It is formation, but it is not control. Because there comes a time, and I made this one of the points because I want you to know it. And I want you to write this down. If you're usually not someone who takes notes, you're like, "Oh, I just want to listen." I want you to write this down. This is that important. There comes a time, number three, when each person is responsible for choosing the wise path. Right, the parents have a responsibility to train, not just focus on behavior modification, but to give direction, So we don't, as parents, you don't want to miss that opportunity. But there comes a time when a child, their responsibility is not just to obey their parents, but to become more and more aware of what is shaping them. And the warning to children in all of this is there's a time when the direction of your life becomes your responsibility. Regardless of what kind of home you were raised in, what kind of dysfunction you experienced, every child has agency. The opportunity, personal responsibility to choose their path. And some of you, I know this from talking with some of you, you have been carrying a level of guilt, regret, shame, maybe even doubt because of where your adult children are. Because when you were kids were young, you did your very best to pour into them and love them unconditionally and try to guide them on the right path and get them in church and try to show them what God's word says and do your very best at that. But when they got old, they did depart from it. I just want to release you from this. Your child's faith, the direction they're heading, the path they choose to walk as adults are their, that's their responsibility, not yours. It's formation, but it is not control. Now, are there some things you wish you could do over? If you look back, say, I wish I would have done that differently, or I didn't really handle that situation well, or maybe you have some regrets. Is that possible? Yes, that's possible. Welcome to the club of being a parent. We all wish we had some do-overs. I mean, the only people I know that think parenting is easy are those who don't have children. I mean, it's like from day one, like after a baby is born, it's like the next day, it's like, I would have done something different that first day. Let me just summarize it this way. Parents prepare and point their children toward the path, toward the wise path, right? It's a responsibility. We don't want to neglect that. Children, they learn and they have the opportunity to choose the path. But adults are responsible for the path they continue to walk. And that's all of us. Because every single one of us, we will stand before God and give an account for how we lived our lives, regardless of how we were raised. It is so easy to blame the kind of childhood a person had. I wish my parents would have taught me this. I wish I would have had, you know, parents like that person. It's so easy to blame and just get stuck in that. And listen, I don't know all of your stories, but maybe you did have, you didn't have the same starting line as someone else. And maybe you did have to deal with a lot of dysfunction in your home. I'm not trying to minimize that or be insensitive to it. But you know what? God's grace is made perfect in weakness. His strength is made perfect in weakness. You got some situations you're dealing with where you feel weak or you feel less than. You feel like, I don't have the same advantages as somebody else. God says, oh, perfect, because that's where my strength is made perfect. And it's going to meet you right where you are. You don't have to get stuck in that. How do you access God's grace? You might be sitting here saying, well, how do I receive and experience God's grace? God's grace flows downhill to the humble. So you submit your life to Jesus Christ and humble yourself before God, and his grace flows. It's not something you got to climb to or figure out or earn, or you need more discipline to get God's grace. No, it flows to the humble. So it's just simply humbling yourself before God and saying, I need you to show up. I can't make this on my own. But God resists the proud. He opposes the proud. Now, we know that, but sometimes pride looks like, I don't need help. I'm not gonna ask for help. I figured out, you know, everything in my life, my whole life, I don't need help now. And your heart gets hard. And so humbling yourself simply means I'm gonna submit. I'm gonna acknowledge I don't know everything. And listen, if you're a young adult, you're a young person, and you feel like, man, my parents really didn't set me up, and I need someone to help me. You know, people say, we need a mentor program at church. We actually have one. It's just not official. Look around. There are spiritually mature people in this church. If you're a young person, you're like, I don't really understand what it is to follow Jesus, or no one really taught me how to manage money, or how to, you know, think long term, or how to make good financial decisions, or how to walk the straight and narrow path, or how to endure storms of life, or how to forgive when I don't feel like forgiving. You can find someone in this church who's spiritually mature, and here's what you do. You need a mentor. Here's what you do. You go up to somebody, whether you know them or not, but you need to know, are they spiritual? Have they followed Jesus for decades? They need to be decades older. Here's what you don't do. You don't say, hey, will you be my mentor? Nobody feels qualified to be a mentor. But you go up to them and say, hey, could I take you out for coffee? And I just have some questions I'd love to ask, and then listen. And if you do that, make sure you pay for the coffee. Wisdom gets passed on from one generation to the next. You don't have to start from scratch. And I would also say future generations are counting on the wisdom of this generation to be passed on to. That's God's law of formation. The son becomes the father. The daughter becomes the mother. The child becomes the parent. The student becomes the teacher. Every choice we make is shaping the kind of person we're becoming. So let's come back to our question. How does someone stay on the wise path for a lifetime? It comes back to Jesus. Number four, Jesus invites us to faithfully follow him. Because as you faithfully, we're talking about over the long term, over a lifetime. As you continue walking with him, he continues to form you into the person he created you to be. He forgives, and he gives us a new way to live. I want to read Luke chapter 6, verse 46. This might be familiar to you, but it's just so important. This is the idea of we got to repeat it again and again and again. We need to hear it again and again. But here's what Jesus said. He said, "Why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, when you don't do what I say?" Now, we don't know what tone Jesus had here. I think there was some frustration in this when he said this. Yeah, it's like when a parent says to a child, like, why do you say you love me when you don't do what I say? Right? Well, if you're gonna call someone Lord, if you're gonna call someone Savior, that's not just entitled, there's a response. It should shape how you live. And so Jesus says this, when you call me Lord, it's got to affect what you do. He says, verse 47, I will show you what it's like when someone comes to me, number one, listens to my teaching, number two, and then follows it. I think the church overall is really good at the first two. Come to Jesus and listen to his teaching. But follows it, obedience. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says in verse 48, it's like a person building a house who digs deep and lays the foundation on solid rock. When the floodwaters rise and break against that house, it stands firm because it is well built. What is he talking about? A house that is well built that will withstand storms and floods. It comes down to not just coming to Jesus, not just listening to what he said, but obeying what he taught. That's what's gonna provide a foundation that cannot be moved. And it doesn't matter to me if you're a teenager, young adult, old adult, senior adult, triple digits. This is for everybody. Then Jesus said, anyone who hears and doesn't obey, right? Hears, we all hear. Doesn't obey, it's like a person who builds a house right on the ground without a foundation. When the floods, everybody say when, not if. I can guarantee you, you will experience storms in this life. Floods will come, rains will come. It will test your foundation. That looks like someone who has offended you. And you gotta make a decision. Are you gonna forgive or hold on to bitterness? Forgiveness doesn't excuse what a person has done. It just releases you from the revenge or the retribution so that that root of bitterness does not poison your soul. Obedience. When the floods sweep down against that house, it will collapse into a heap of ruins. I mean, Jesus just lays it out so clearly. Amen. And we need this reminder over and over again. He said, follow me, come to me, listen to my teachings. Oh yes, follow, yeah, we'll listen, we'll come. Where the rubber meets the road is obedience. Doing it. And so when you hear, train up a child in the way they will go, so when they're old, they won't depart from it. I don't want you to think about, oh, that's parenting. Because if it was about parenting and parents were, you know, that's what it depended on, this whole book would be written to parents. Amen. But it's not. It's written to children. It's written to us to grow, to prepare us for parenting, that responsibility, but so much broader than that. Maybe you're carrying responsibility for what is not yours to carry. I want to invite you to release it. But maybe you are blaming your childhood for a path that you're on right now. I want to invite you to repent. Repent means to change. Maybe you have children that are on a wayward path. The response is just not like, well, good luck. I hope they make it. You might be wondering, what do we do? Here's be my encouragement to you. When you pray for someone who is not walking the wise path, not walking in God's truth, not following Jesus faithfully, when you pray for someone, no matter, I mean, if it's your child or somebody that you know, somebody you have a relationship with, the Spirit of the living God is the only one who can transform their heart. And so you pray for them. Pray that their heart would be softened before the Lord. Pray that the Spirit of God would get their attention. Pray that they would have the courage to respond to what the Spirit's prompting them. And then love them. Love them unconditionally. There may be boundaries needed, but they should know. They should know that you love them as Christ loved us. When we were sinners, Christ died for us. When we were sinners and there was no guarantee that anyone would believe in Jesus and salvation, Christ died for us to show us how much he loved us. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I just pray that the Spirit of God would open our eyes to truth. God, if there's anything that I said that was not of you, I pray that it would be forgotten. God, I pray the word of God that was sent forth today, that it would, the word that pierces our hearts, the word that shapes our minds and our thoughts, I pray that it would take root like a seed and it would produce fruit in our lives. And I thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I don't want to dismiss before giving you an opportunity right now to surrender your life to Jesus. This is your moment. Every single one of us will stand before God and give account for our lives. No exceptions. And in that moment, it's not going to hold up to say, well, I didn't know when I was a child. Or I had these kind of situations. Because right now, you have heard the message of Jesus Christ. And his grace and strength is made perfect in whatever your life has impacted you. And so if you're ready to surrender your life to Jesus, I want to give you that opportunity right now. I want to lead you in a prayer. And it's a starting point. It's not a magical prayer. It is a starting point that sets you on this path. And so I'm just going to invite you to repeat it out loud. And I'm going to invite everyone to say it just so nobody's praying alone. But would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. And Jesus, I believe you came to this earth, died on a cross, shed your blood for me. You were buried in a tomb. You rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. I repent of my sins, turn from my selfish ways, and submit my life to Jesus Christ, my Lord and my Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. When you surrender your life to Jesus, believe, obey, Bible says you're spiritually born again. And so as a church, I want to come alongside you, help you grow. The ushers have a Bible for you. If you prayed that prayer, sincerely meant it in your heart, I want to invite you to lift your hands up, unashamed of that prayer, and keep it up until an usher sees you and they'll hand that to you. Come on, can we thank God for these people? You know, it takes courage to do that, but that's what following Jesus is. It does take courage and boldness, so you might as well get used to that. But if you received a Bible, I want to invite you to a place called Connections. It's to my right. It's a room in the back of the auditorium. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you and pray with you. I want to encourage you to go there before you leave this auditorium. Go to that space. And then your next step is to be baptized. Water baptism is this act of faith when you publicly proclaim what Jesus has done in your life. And again, that public proclamation of what Jesus has done will activate your faith in a way. It's like, okay, I'm following Jesus, no turning back. I'd encourage you, if you have not taken that step, I encourage you to take that step. You can sign up worshipcenter.org/baptism. We'd love to help you go through that class and help you grow. All right, well, are you thankful for God's word today? Man, I pray it encourages you and challenges you. As I was putting this together this week, I was so convicted. You don't get to see that, but I'm, you know, thinking about this all week, and it's just like the word of God is poking at my soul. Just so you know that, I think it's important for you to know that. I might stand up here sounding pretty confident, but it's been a battle this week, but I love it. I do really. If you need prayer for any reason, we're gonna have a prayer team down front. We'd love to pray for you. Whatever you're facing, have someone pray for you. And I wanna remind you, I wanna do what scripture says. You gotta repeat this again and again and again. You are God's masterpiece. We are God's masterpiece. We've been created on purpose for his kingdom. Go out this week. Passionately pursue the purpose God has on your life. You'll be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.